Thanksgiving makes me think once in a while of Carlos, a youth I met when he was 14 years old. At the time, I was minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of El Paso, Texas, where we had a partner community across the border in Juarez, Mexico. In a small barrio of Juarez, Carlos was an ebullient youth, spirit very alive. The thing is that Carlos lived in a neighborhood which was settled directly on top of a garbage dump, a live, in-use garbage dump. Smells of putrid eggs and rotten chicken remains often wafted in the air. Carlos was in the majority of the children in the neighborhood who suffered intense respiratory problems, including asthma. A few fortunate kids obtained inhalers to alleviate breathing. Given the intensity of the poverty in his community, Carlos could easily have been bitter and spiteful, but he wasn't. Carlos was a community organizer. That's how he channeled his energy. He empowered kids and adults to collaborate successfully, meeting community needs. Living on a garbage dump, it's hard to explain what it looks like. One of the things is there was no legal electricity, so everybody was rigged illegally off of the legal power lines down, so it was very dangerous. But one of the ways in which people pulled together close to enough pesos to feed their kids was collecting and selling metal objects. It was a nasty, sad gig, gathering cans, hiding rotten food, frames showing photos of well-appointed homes or people in fine clothing, items not known in this aldea, and a lot of other stuff which I've decided not to say right now because it's not age appropriate for minors. I never exactly figured out the deal, but I did ascertain that the buying and selling of metals was managed by an organized crime group, and Carlos, with high integrity and a smile that could cheer the frown off the most sorrowful of pusses, helped good, hardworking people to collect and sell metal with them experiencing a minimum amount of abuse from the scamming. In a similarly unfair need for organizing, Carlos helped families to obtain medicines. With no prescriptions required for most any medicine we need prescriptions for, Carlos went door-to-door, part of a group, but he was the door-to-door guy, noting orders, collecting funds, and then taking the bulk order to the vendors who had access to medicine. And then people got their medicines. Carlos focused on the blessings he did have. At the age of 14, he was wise beyond his years. He would say, "Hay que recordar que hay otra gente que lo tienen peor que nosotros." Means you have to remember always that there are other people who have it worse off than we do. Having spent time in Texas, Carlos had experienced any love Thanksgiving. He said the juicy turkey was great and cranberries and stuffing were among the strangest, most unattractive food he had ever seen. Those are not popular in Mexico, apparently. But he loved focusing on gratitude and giving back, and I think that is what Thanksgiving is all about. Today we gather in multi-generational community, whether you walked in quite spry or whether you limped in gingerly, whether you carried a little one or you are the one who got carried, whether you strolled in or rolled in, we celebrate that at any age and any sexual orientation or any group of GLBTQ, thank you so much, and the straight folks, no matter who you are, it's good to be here, to give thanks and give service, because these are deeply important to our humanity. In this spirit, we focus today and what in many ways has become the American Seder. Does Thanksgiving make you think of anybody? Who does it bring up for you? Let's lift them up. Let me tell you about a man, Eric Carey, who I recently learned about in a book called Aging Well by George Valent, a doctor. When he was a teenager, Eric decided, he got a collected sense of self and decided that his mission in life was to share of himself with others. Unfortunately, at about that time, Eric also developed muscular paralysis in the lower half of his body. With a clear sense of dignity and wisdom, Eric decided to become a pediatrician. His medical training and working as a doctor were not easy. Eric said the frustration of seeing what needs to be done and knowing how to do it, but being unable to carry it out because of physical limitations imposed by bed sores and paraplegia, has been one of the daily pervading problems of my life. Eric remained nimble in finding ways to help others. He said, "I've coped by limiting my activities, work and social, to the essential ones and the ones that are within the scope of my abilities." In other words, he focused on what he had and what he could do. By the time Eric's body was more fully failing him at the age of 57, remarkably, he said, "I have come to a fuller sense of fruition and peace, a fuller sense of fruition and peace with myself and my family." Using innovative technology, Eric was able to write and publish about his medical work. He said he would be deeply pleased if he could add even one iota of pediatric knowledge, which may ultimately aid more than his personal patients. So with low usage of his body, this guy, Dr. Eric Carey, focused on giving thanks for what he did have and giving service as a legacy of love. Honestly, come on in, kids. Isn't that what we all feel called to do? Give thanks for what we do have and give service as a legacy of love? I think so. I think that's what's in all of our hearts, if I do say so. Saki Santarelli is one of my new favorite authors. He teaches mindfulness at a hospital in Boston and has worked for decades with medical patients with a wide range of critical medical issues. Reflecting on his own life, Saki said, "I do not have colon cancer. I'm not HIV positive, and I'm not recovering from a heart attack. Yet, I know that I am addicted to a plethora of emotional and mental states. I sometimes obsess about my health or fight with my kids. Sometimes I feel shame in the face of my perceived weaknesses and imperfection." The reality is we all go through times when our cups floweth over with anxiety and worry about not being good enough, not being able to do it all. Breathing constricts, body tightens. Feverish flus hit, painfully long sore surgery recoveries seem to last forever. Jobs get eliminated and learning problems develop over which we feel powerless. Right now, in our country, it's a very tough time again. In the Trump ecosystem, people are polarized and ramped up. Many are grieving and feeling powerless, including me. It's also a very difficult time in our denomination and in our congregation. for a number of reasons. As one of them being that as we struggle to figure out the best ways to do our anti-racism work. Racism is tough stuff to fight. Evidenced by this holiday, where we also always tearfully lament and honor the memory of Native Americans who had their properties purchased on the cheap and stolen. Native Americans devastated by germs and illness brought by settlers. Native Americans slaughtered off the lands. Saki Santarelli is a Japanese American whose parents were in the internment camps here in the United States as prisoners. He says that no matter what blessings or problems each of us have in our lives, behind all of our thin temporary veils of demarcation, we are all patients in the sense of the Latin word, which says patiens. This is the potential and condition of undergoing and enduring suffering. We all are patients of suffering. And Saki says, if we use our suffering wisely, it can become a seedbed, bringing forth an awakening or a fullness in our lives. Awakenings can often lead to gratitude for good things and a deep longing to give back to life with all of our might. How can we use our suffering wisely? How can our suffering possibly be a seedbed for awakenings that could lead to gratitude and generosity? As we continue to build beloved community here at USG, may we come with an assumption that others have the best intentions in their hearts. May we be present to one another with a contagious grace and courage in our hearts. Let's keep in this work, in this life, drumming and chanting and doing yoga and singing and dancing, writing lyrical poetry and telling our stories and listening to our stories of love, pain, and hope. Let's keep going out and partnering in the wider community, bending the arc of the universe towards justice. Let's break bread. Amen.